Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. Welcome back, and thanks much for listening to the show. 106.7 The Fan. We're on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me, and at Funny Danny for DR. Mick Mixon, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers, was on the show earlier today, and he talked about the fact that at the end of last season, the Panthers brass felt like Kyle Allen was a starter in this league, and many of that brass is now in Washington, and they traded for him yesterday. What does that mean for the Redskins quarterback position? Dave Jagler is the voice of the Washington Nationals, and he is a big part of their broadcast night in and night out with Charlie Sloz, and he joins us now on G&D. Dave, how you been? How you holding up without a whole lot to do right now, ramping up to the baseball season?
Well, this is a tough day. I mean, this is the day we were going to do the homecoming game at the stadium and then hop on a train and head to New York for opening day on Thursday. So it's kind of hitting home the reality that that's not going to happen. So these next couple days are going to be the tough ones, but we'll get through it. I mean, everyone's got their own thing. In my little world, these days will be a little bit tough.
Jags, when are they going to play?
Bubble of baseball. I didn't even think about that, by the way, Danny. 2 days from opening day.
It's right here. Yeah, Jags. When do you think they're going to play?
Well, I have no idea. No, you know, obviously it's going to take some time when as a society we're ready to, you know, to get back to some normalcy as far as you know, lessening the social distancing restrictions, and then you talk about being able to have a team workout, and then you've got to get back in shape from there. So whenever that restriction is lifted, you're looking at probably 3 to 4 weeks from there to get ready for the season.
So, Jags, yesterday we had our buddy Joe Beninati on, and he was kind enough, because we're missing our favorite broadcasters. There are no games. We don't want you guys to lose your touch. You know, we need to keep you fresh, to keep you sharp.
Stay sharp, yeah.
So Joe B. was kind enough to announce himself washing his clothes, and I was wondering if you'd be kind enough to maybe – do some play-by-play of a household task you might be accomplishing today.
Well, I mean, you know, right now, guys, I mean, it's a little after 1 in the afternoon. I'm kind of hungry. It's pretty much a lunchtime in the Jagler household. You know, Dave likes to eat on a schedule. He's a very regimented guy. And as far as the schedule goes, and they can take you through what's going on as far as the lunchtime process here. And a little background information, you know, Jagler's wife, Jennifer, very good cook as far as Thanksgiving goes. Generally, every November, we'll host a 25-person get-together. She'll make a turkey in the sides and then feed everybody. Well, she made the decision on Saturday to kind of have Thanksgiving, you know, a quarantine version of Thanksgiving. So we had a full-on Thanksgiving dinner on Saturday. We had turkey, we had stuffing, mashed potatoes, green beans, and the piece de resistance, the apple crisp for dessert with some Heath Bar ice cream. So the great thing about, you know, turkey and not having to feed 25 people is we have leftovers. So, you know, with turkey leftovers, we have leftovers for 2 days in a row. It could be 3 days out of five or four out of seven or seven out of 10 the next 10 days. You're going to get leftovers. So I'm going with a leftover situation for lunch today. And it's interesting that the decision has been made early on as far as the bread, the sandwich roll for the turkey sandwich, the decision made after a hard cardio workout earlier today to cut the sandwich at the two-third point. And that's something Jagler will be asked about in the post-lunch press conference, the decision to leave one-third of the sandwich roll uneaten, maybe for somebody else, but potentially to balance off the caloric deficiency after the cardio workout, not wanting to waste the calories on the bread, but made the decision to go two-thirds sandwich roll. And the interesting lineup decision, as far as packing the sandwich, he's going to put the stuffing in first, ahead of the turkey. So it's a bit of a change in the batting order. Most people might go turkey in the sandwich first, toppings on top of the turkey. We're going stuffing as the leadoff hitter. and then putting the turkey on top, hoping to allow some turkey to be a neat bite. And we're going to top the sandwich with some gravy. Now, the issue is the gravy's been working hard here in the leftovers. Your gravy's a little bit overworked, so that there's not a lot of gravy yet left. And with the new rules, you got to have a three-bite minimum for the gravy. I don't know if the gravy's going to make it for three bites, so we're going to mix in some cranberry sauce with the gravy for the topping. On the side, we're going with mashed potatoes, and we'll see what is for dessert. So that is lunch, and I'm ready to eat.
Three-bite rule. I love it. There's a brand new rule. How do you think the three-bite rule is going to work, Jax?
You can't just have gravy on one bite anymore. And you got to get three bites in.
There's no matchup gravy.
Rule. Yeah.
It's going to change the way you go about the sandwich, too. I mean, you got to really think a day or two in advance on the sandwich now, don't you think?
Yeah. Gravy's had a lot of work recently. And I think Grady maybe had one bite or two in it today, but we got to stretch it out for three bites.
It's gotten Danny, up the bullpen you know a bunch. Yeah.
Jags, he worked in the storytelling of baseball. We got the backstory on Thanksgiving with the wife and the number of people they normally feed. Also, I don't know if this was on purpose, Jags, but I loved the X amount of days out of a certain amount of days because that felt very he's 4 for his last 7, he's 9 for his last 16, he's 15 for his last 42. I don't know if you were thinking that, but I was right there with you.
Of course. Yeah, it's a winning streak. I mean, you want to win. You know, you want to win 7 out of your last 10. I mean, that's a good streak of baseball. Yeah, it's definitely working those numbers in. You gotta have the numbers.
Grant, you know what I was thinking of while Jags was talking about the special meal that he had, like it's like a once in a blue moon kind of thing. That was, and I think about that, and I think about the look that he had on his face when I came back with my plate in Houston.
I was thinking about that too.
You know what I mean? Like how disgusted he was with me. That was just a normal set of servings. Like I'm it's a Wednesday. I'm watching a game. I'm gonna fill my plate up to the point that it's hard to carry after a while. Jags did that as a special occasion. I did that on a Wednesday night.
I didn't know if you guys were going to second guess putting the stuffing on this in the roll first, or
no, you know us
stuffing in turkey on top, or if you go turkey first and then put the toppings on the turkey. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
But. Your best hitter first, Jags. No problem with getting a more at bat. Stuffing's the star.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Dusty would have had the stuffing go on sixth, and I wouldn't have liked that very much, as you know, Jags.
Or had the stuffing bunting in the second inning, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, he would have gone to Sammy Solis as his stuffing when his bullpen that had just been acquired at the deadline was available. Also, Jags, in addition to what you're eating right now, which we appreciate you educating us on, I want to go back to what Danny asked, though. That time that he walked into the I guess it was in the booth,
It was in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
And do you even remember what he had? I just remember your face. It wasn't that of like
contempt.
Disbelief. It was actual disdain. Like you actually in that moment hated that he was there.
Well, I didn't hate that he was there, but I remember what they had set out. And they did a pretty nice spread there at Minute Maid Park as far as the media and dining. But it seemed to me on the plate was something of everything. Like, I didn't know you could fit everything on the plate. So, yeah.
It's a lot of veteran savvy. You know that
also,
Was
that the time, Danny, you did the weird – you did one night – I don't think you did it afterwards because you almost got sick, but one night you did some extra big dessert where – I don't remember exactly what all it was, but it was gross.
It was the cookie ice cream sandwich right outside the booth, right? It was the thing you go, you got to try this, and I was like, very well, bring me all the flavors and two giant warm cookies on top of it after I ate the normal plate.
But then you went in, and you added a bunch of condiments or something from the place that wasn't – The ice cream stand.
Reese's Pieces, Heath Bar, and I do believe I did some peanut M&Ms in there as well.
Yeah, I got to say, that was a big league. Most of the time in the postseason, because there's such the crush of media, a lot of the ballparks do the box lunches, and it's kind of the same thing. Maybe you get an apple. Maybe you get a small bag of, baked Lay's or something in there. I mean, they went all out in Houston. I will give them credit. And Dan, you took full advantage of that.
Thank you.
Jags, I think you are ready to go. Tools have been sharpened, my friend. You are play-by-play ready, mid-season form.
The other thing I'm doing, it's the voices of DC Sports, which Walton and the Cats got started off. I had a bunch of folks hit me up on Cameo yesterday, and I've been doing some recreations of home run calls with different people inserted instead of Howie Kendrick. It's someone whoever wants to make that donation. We're trying to raise some money for great causes, DC Central Kitchen, Martha's Table, the Capital Area Food Bank. All of our proceeds are going to those folks who are trying to help feed people at this difficult time. So I got a bunch of those yesterday as far as recreating you know, the Howie Kendrick home run with someone else hitting it. I even had, you're going to laugh at this, I had one request. The guy sent me a thing, can you do the Zimmerman walk-off homer? And I'm kind of like, well, he's had 11.
Yeah,
so I guess it's up to me which one I want to do. And so, when you rank the Zimmerman walk-off homers, probably the top two are the one he had against the Yankees, his first one when he was a rookie, and then the one that opened Nationals Park in 2008. And so I went with that one. The problem is Charlie's had all the walk-off home run calls for Zimmerman because he does the ninth inning. So I'm like, all right, it's for charity. I'm going to do the, Charlie's version of the walk-off home run. I did the bang, zoom, go the fireworks, and I did it for him.
That's fun. So I'm looking at it right now. If you go to cameo.com, it's easy to search for Dave Jagler. You can search for any of the play-by-play guys.
Yeah,
the Jags mentioned.
Guys,
it really is for a great cause.
At FP, Wizards guys, Redskins, whatever you want. It doesn't have to be a home run recreation. We're sending out birthday wishes, shout outs. If you want to ask us a question, I mean, anything you can think of. We're not part of the mass media right now with a broadcast from City Field. We're trying to talk to people one at a time. So it's for a great cause.
We appreciate you hopping on with us, and we will send people to do that. Dave Jagler on Cameo. And yeah, the broadcasters in town raising money for great cause. Jags, thank you, buddy, and we are glad that you still got it. We just wanted to check in, make sure that was the case.
I appreciate it. You guys too. You still
enjoy
got it.
Your lunch. Make sure you get a bite of that turkey. There is Dave Jagler with us on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Next, what Mick Mixon, the voice of the Panthers, said about Kyle Allen and how the Panthers staff viewed him before they came to Washington. You're listening to The Fan. Yesterday of Tua Tagovailoa working on his footwork that he posted online and went all over the country.
He looks pretty good, didn't he?
My guy looks healthy.
He looked pretty good, didn't he?
I'm not a huge proponent of drafting Tua in the top couple. I've said that all along. Just because the injury history, red flags, out the yin-yang, I can't go about trying to build for 10 years around a guy with his stature who's not huge and who seems to get hurt a lot. But dang if he didn't look good. I mean, it's not very often I watch one of those videos and come away with anything other than, please stop posting this video. But because we're kind of curious, what is Tua doing at this point? How is he feeling? How close is he to being ready? You never would have known anything was wrong. That footwork was pretty impeccable. He's super athletic, really quick twitch.
Yeah.
There's a lot to like about him. He's brilliantly accurate, but he looks really healthy right now.
Yeah, so, I will never be fooled again by the workout video as it pertains to a guy that's going to be a star. I call it the Terrell Pryor corollary, right? That's the last time I ever get burned by that. But this is a different case. This is a incredible performance in the background. What's the question mark? It's health. He looked very healthy. Now, I have no x-rays. I've got no CT scans. I'm not poking and prodding anybody with anything, and nobody's anybody for that matter for a while, given the state of the union here. But, man, oh, man, people have forgotten. This dude is a star, and it was tank for Tua before some of these maladies happened. And if he gets a clean bill of health, that's good for the Redskins.
I'd use a fire emoji on the Tua video. I will use, I don't know what emoji, probably a frowny face for the other video I saw yesterday, which was the unveiling and the announcement of the Rams' new logo and color scheme. I actually don't hate the colors. They're kind of like maybe a royal blue with some gold. But did you see their new logo? It's a white LA, and then a part of the A basically becomes like the Ram emblem that goes down below the L. You got to look it up. I'm not a big fan. What'd you think of it?
Well, the easiest thing to do in the world is anybody changes anything, you just go, oh, I hate it. It sucks. So I feel like I'm being annoying when I say that I hate it and it sucks, but I actually think I hate it and it sucks.
Like, you think it's that bad? Like, I was like, not great. You think it's terrible.
I really don't like it. I don't know how to better say it than that. I don't know. Something is wrong with the A. It's spouting a weird growth. And I know it's the horns, and it's you got to look at it from a certain angle. You had a ram, and it looked cool. You had really cool uniforms before. This was not one of those things. Who said around football fans across the country, you know what really needs changing is that L.A. Rams stuff?
Right?
Nobody said that. And so now here we are with something that I think is a lot worse than the actual ram.
Yeah, I can give you a couple teams that need to change their logo.
Yeah.
Rams wouldn't have been on that list.
Who would you say needs to change, top of your head?
I think the Bucks have hideous uniforms. I don't know that they have to change their logo, but I would change their uniforms in a heartbeat. I think the Jaguars, they could probably have a cooler logo. That's an awesome animal that there's a lot of things you could do with it. I don't hate their logo in and of itself. I think their uniforms are disgusting. So you could change out both of those things if you wanted to at once.
I've always argued the Jets need something new.
Just spelling out Jets doesn't do it for you?
Why
not have a cool Jet?
Or something, right? I mean, just the very bland white and green. I know people call it classic just because it hasn't changed in a while. You know, like it is very generic and it's not 1982 anymore. There's no, I don't know, pick that. We're not in the Bruce Coslett era.
So, like, I love the Browns helmets, just the orange. I love that. And for that reason, the Jets is not that bad. But I'm with you. You have a cool potential logo with the actual Jet.
Or
a couple
something.
Others. I'd love to see the Colts change their helmet. They just have the blue kind of horseshoe.
The blue shoe.
You could do something cool with Colts. I go to animals that are potentially badass. Like the Panthers logo is fine. I think you could do something better. The Saints could probably do better with theirs. It's been around for absolutely ever and ever and ever. And then the last one I would say is maybe the Dolphins. I mean, they botched it when they changed it a couple of years ago. It's like the friendliest, cutest little dolphin ever. Have something that is, I don't know, something a little bit more scary.
I'm with you. It's hard to make dolphins look terribly intimidating because they're such cool creatures, you know, and they're so smart and they're neat. One change I would make is to take all the gold pants that Bruce liked and either have a burning party or a shoot them into the sun party. I would do that. If we're making uniform changes.
I think the gold pants could be gone now with Bruce out. I'm guessing you're going back to burgundy and white for the most part.
I loved
the gold pants at first because it was just something new and fresh. And then it became something they had to do every single week. And I found myself missing the white pants.
Yeah, the players are going, can we do this? And Bruce was like, nope, that's not what I'm doing. We're doing my thing. Cool, Bruce.
Gold pants until the end of time.
Cool, buddy. Really enjoy that. Really enjoy your time here.
We had Mick Mixon, the voice of the Panthers, on the show last hour. I asked him, is Kyle Allen a starting quarterback in the league? Listen to what he said about what the Panthers thought about Allen, who the Redskins just traded a fifth-round pick for.
I think that the Panther brass regarded Kyle Allen after a year of working with him as a, maybe you would say, a middle-of-the-pack to second-tier number one or a very, very high-quality number two in the NFL.
A middle-of-the-pack or second-tier number one is what they thought of Kyle Allen. Those are the same guys that are now here in Washington with the Redskins who just traded for him. I found that really interesting.
It doesn't quite jive, right? If they thought so much of him, then you don't bring in P.J. Walker, Teddy Bridgewater, and make him expendable for a throwaway draft pick, right?
Well, I think he's talking about a lot of the brass that's now in Carolina. I mean, maybe he's talking about, he's saying that the guys that worked with him last year. They're not talking about Matt Rhule. Maybe he's talking about
Marty Herney and company?
Marty Herney. But I think most of their front office and coaching staff from a year ago is now in Washington.
No, that's totally true. I just mean in terms of evaluation. Like the GM's the same. And the new quarterback, new coaching staff is obviously very different. But it doesn't quite jive to me that this group of people, and a lot of the decision makers are now in D.C., think of him as this middle-tier starter, and the Redskins have already said, or somebody told you, no, he's not here to compete with Dwayne Haskins. He knows the offense, and he'll help him. You know what I mean? Like, there's some disconnect there that I'm not getting.
Yeah, that could be. I don't think they view him, for the record, as a starter. I think you can think that he has starting potential, though, and bring him in, and it doesn't mean that he's going to start, particularly when you already have a guy that you essentially have to give those reps and have to give that starting opportunity to. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We've still got to pick our movie to watch. We'll do that at 1:45 today, the Grant and Danny Movie Club. But next, before we get out of here, an incredible stat on the running back position. And Trent Williams is asking to be out. Why it's up to him, not the Redskins, to get a deal done. We'll explain next on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. This tells you a lot about the running back position. 22 running backs were taken in the 2015 NFL draft. after the Todd Gurley acquisition by the Falcons, how many of those 22 running backs from the 2015 NFL draft, Danny, do you think is still with the team that picked them 5 years ago?
So I happen to know because I saw this stat. Instinctively, I wouldn't have said this number. I would have said, I'm sure there are five or six, knowing that the attrition rate is incredibly high.
Zero. Of 22 running backs in the 2015 NFL draft still with the team that took them. And that is another example and reason as to why you just can't pay running backs $14, $15 million a year unless they are also basically receivers. Unless you feel like they've got years of production ahead of them because they don't have to take the pounding between the tackles 300 times to give you the types of numbers that garner paying them that money. Like, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. I would have a really hard time if I'm Matt Rhule not paying Christian McCaffrey top-of-the-market elite money. And as you know, I don't really operate with hard and fast rules. I think every situation is its own, and I've got governing principles and general philosophies, but I've got to be willing to break glass occasionally because there are unique special cases. And right now at this point, I would tell you that I would give Christian McCaffrey Ezekiel Elliott-type money for what he provides as a pass catcher in addition to his running back abilities if I'm contending when I've got to pay him soon enough. But, man, the cases of me being willing to pay running backs are really few and far between, and it's guys like him and Saquon Barkley types. But even that skill set, look at Le'Veon Bell. I mean, that skill set can hit the wall fast.
Absolutely. And I do have rules, and I make exceptions when warranted. I think my threshold's just higher, I think, than yours and many others. I just don't do it. I mean, I look back again at the guys that were leading rushers in the NFL just a handful of years ago. The overwhelming majority are not with their teams or are expendable or are afterthoughts now. That position above all others just churns guys out. Occasionally you get an exception. Occasionally you get an Adrian Peterson who could still do this, 12, 13 years in the league, and you recognize properly, I think, that those guys are freaks and deserve all the credit in the world for defying all the odds. If I'm making bets, and that's what a contract is or a draft pick is or whatever, I'm just not betting on that. Because lightning strikes, I'm not going to put my lightning receptacle in that same spot once again. But it really is. That's a startling number, by the way, that not one guy from just, the four seasons removed now is with his original team. It's amazing.
And it's hard to believe. And it just speaks to, that's a position I wouldn't want to be playing at this point.
Seriously.
Because I don't know, how do you get bang for your buck, big picture, long term? I mean, you're fighting an uphill battle. You're drafted on a rookie deal, and you are used and run into the ground, underpaid. When it's time to pay you, nobody wants to.
Yeah.
So I mean, the only guys, do you get yours, in other words?
Yeah, and I don't know that you do, but the only guys that I could see, I mean, there was a scout that I talked to years ago when I still had pro aspirations, and he was talking about catchers. And he's like, my latest philosophy is I'm not looking for guys that have caught hundreds and hundreds of games at the amateur levels, because their shelf life when they start getting into Pro Bowl and the grind every day is, 3, 4, 5 years shorter. I want a guy that's the right kind of athlete that we could convert to catcher, doesn't have the wear and tear. I almost think that might be the thing for running backs. Like if you go get a Todd Gurley who's taken SEC bruising and pounding and already has a knee surgery by the time he walks into the NFL, you're talking that much shorter of a shelf life. A guy that's already proved that at the highest levels of amateur football, you're talking about someone there's no chance should be getting a second deal based on a lot of the circumstances that we see now. So I wonder if that's kind of the new wave, right, where it's more of the I'm blanking on the guy's name, Ty Montgomery in Green Bay. I wonder if that's going to be the new model at some point where someone says, hey, he hasn't been hit, 6,000 times in his amateur career. Maybe we'll try to convert him to running back and get him in the weight room a little bit.
I thought you meant where the new way is that all running backs wear number 88.
Maybe that's the block, just to protect him.
Right. That was the weirdest thing in the world when I first saw that. Like, can we change this guy's number, please?
I just didn't
do we
like
have
it.
To do this?
It's kind I didn't of a, like it. I admit that I didn't like it.
It's not aesthetically pleasing.
It should have been a big deal, but it was to me.
So we don't want to pay running backs, but the league does pay offensive linemen. And along that line, there was a statement today from Trent Williams and his agent, Vince Taylor, who, the way I understand this, and I don't have all the details, and I'm kind of speaking out of school, but I'll just pass along what I've been told by other players who know Trent pretty well. I'm pretty sure Vincent Taylor, like, he got into this game initially with Trent Williams as an agent, and some of the clients he's gotten since. I want to say Jason Peters might be one of them. I could be wrong. But, like, he's gotten a lot of them through Trent Williams. So he's done a lot of things that don't mesh with how a lot of the big agents in the NFL handle stuff during this negotiation. And he's not necessarily this longtime accomplished agent who had dozens of huge clients before Trent Williams, which makes you kind of raise an antenna a little bit on how he's handled some of this. But the statement he sent ESPN and NFL Network today, the relationship between the Redskins and Trent Williams has reached a point where it's in the best interest that the Redskins trader release him. Despite its knowledge of the irreconcilable differences, Washington was unable or unwilling to negotiate a trade for Williams. The team then gave Williams and his representatives the right to seek trading partners. Williams' reps provided the team with trading options, but the Redskins have shown no interest in negotiating in good faith and, in fact, have given inconsistent demands on what it wants in return for a trade. So he's going scorched earth here. Throughout the process, Williams has maintained his silence and not spoken negatively about the team. Not true. Nor has he pursued potential legal actions. I guess that's true. This seems to not be a successful strategy. Players who are outwardly critical of the team do get traded. That's true. Quentin Dunbar did. Although Trent Williams will always love and respect Dan Snyder, his teammates, and the Washington Redskins fans, he wants to be traded or released. It's time for the organization to act in a manner that is in both Williams and the team's best interest. So my big problem is this. You know, he points out in this statement that we went out and we found potential trade partners for Trent. The Redskins haven't made the trade. The Redskins should not be lowering what they get back for Trent Williams because nobody wants to give them what he's worth because he's also asking for crazy money. He wants $20 million a year, supposedly. That's the number that has been floated.
Yeah,
by
he
way
wants
of
QB
people.
Money.
Essentially, yes. He wants to be the highest paid tackle in the league. Now, SpotTrack, for what it's worth, they go through and they assign worth to every player based on performance and some different things, and they've got him somewhere between $15 and $16 million. Now, if he came down and told the Browns, I'll sign an extension at $16 million a year for the next 3 or 4 years, guaranteeing me the first couple years, what have you, maybe Cleveland's then willing to part with the number two that it would take. But in the meantime, Trent Williams, Danny, is saying to the Redskins, you have to trade me, and his agent is mad at the team for not doing so. But he's also making it nearly impossible to trade him because he's asking for so much money. And basically the agent today is saying the Redskins just have to take less and trade this guy. It's time. No, this is up to you and Trent Williams to lower your demands. Do you want to be traded or do you want to be paid? I'll get you traded if you can take less money or care and prioritize less being paid. But if this is just about getting the biggest, fattest contract there is, then I'm not trading you because that's preventative of me getting what I need. And I've already traded one guy this week for nothing. I'm not trading two, especially a future Hall of Fame player potentially if he can have 3 or 4 more excellent seasons wherever he ends up.
Yeah, you got to do better than the third round comp pick that I would just get if I held on to you and barred you from my facility, right? I mean, I'd rather that in a future year than just trade you for chicken feed. This is the early part of this, and I say early, the first year of this is on the Redskins, specifically Bruce Allen. Once we got past the trade deadline last year, again, it's irresponsible that they got that far, but they did. That was a Bruce Allen problem. He's gone. The latest problem, the other stuff is the Redskins' fault, a.k.a. Bruce Allen's fault. Now this chapter, this is the Trent Williams' fault, by the way. Right? This is on him and his team and this overmatched agent here who's just basically decided to go scorched earth, as you kind of said. He's lowering the marketplace. The Redskins should not be blamed in any way, for not just shipping this guy out of here for less value than he could possibly get. Trent Williams is the guy that's holding this up with his contract demands. If the demands were less, the trade offers would be more, and it'd be the best interest of everybody, as you correctly pointed out. This part of this, you got no sympathy anymore from Redskins fans. We were sympathetic with the cancer scare, with Bruce Allen, training staff, and everything else. It's all gone. Nobody wants you here anymore, dude. You're now being a jerk. You're holding up this process by this and whining and complaining and saying, I'll go agitate the way Quentin Dunbar did to get myself out of here. How is that winning any support in the court of public opinion? They don't care about that anymore. And that's what's frustrating, I think, for a lot of people that really were in Trent's camp on this thing.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Next, we will pick the movie for the movie club tonight. Stretch run of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. If you missed any part of today's show, including our interview with the voice of the Carolina Panthers on Kyle Allen and Cam Newton being released today by the Panthers. Allen, of course, traded for a fifth-round pick to Washington yesterday. McMixon was with us. You can go back and rewind and listen to that. Also, Dave Jagler calling himself making a delicious sandwich in his kitchen. He and Joe B. have kicked this series off well. Who should I reach out to among the D.C. broadcasters tomorrow? Do we go Bobby Carpenter? Do we go with Charlie Slows, John Walton? Where do you want to go next?
Let's see. What about Justin Kutcher? What's he up to? Get a little hoop. Right. So we mix the sports up, and then we can start
like
doubling
that.
Back? Yeah.
Tomorrow will be Kutcher's day. I'll text him. And then how do you feel about a Larry Michaels situation? Is that too uncomfortable for you?
It's fine with me. Do you think you'd be fine with him?
I don't have an answer for you on that.
Right?
I don't know if it'll be fine with him. I just want to make sure, because the one time I introduced him to you, you were exceptionally uncomfortable, and you wanted nothing to do with the conversation at all.
The quote from him, I believe, at the time was, "Oh, so this is him." And my head went down. Boy, was I looking at my shoelaces. I studied those shoelaces. I know everything there is to know about those shoes and those shoelaces, boy.
What if we get Larry on to call himself doing something at his house, and then you do Larry for Larry?
I don't know about that specifically. I mean, he told me that he likes it, and I don't really believe that. But, like, yeah, I mean, I'm fine. What else are we going to do? Yeah, let's give it a go.
All right, I'll ask Larry if he has any interest in coming on the show, making his Grant and Danny debut. It has never happened before.
Oh,
and maybe a Larry versus Larry off.
What have we gotten into?
He might say no, but I'm going to ask him.
How about no?
I've known him for a while. I think we have a decent relationship. I consider him a friend in the business, so we'll see what happens. Why not? Here, I put together a list of movies for the Grant and Danny Movie Club. This is movie number 6 tonight that we'll be watching. And you think I'm going to screw you over and get even because of Star Wars, and you'd be mistaken, sir.
Oh, really? You're going to save that bullet?
No, I would say I'm nicer than that, but I'm actually not. I am literally just saving that bullet until I need to use it. So here's what I did. I got on Amazon Prime, which I think a lot of people have.
Yep.
And I went through some of the best movies that supposedly are streaming on Amazon Prime right now. So without further ado, Dar will go first, I suppose.
Okay.
As our new policy. We'll go through this list. He'll weed out some, and we got to get cracking here. So let's do it. Dar, are you ready?
I'm ready to go. Let's go.
First movie, True Grit.
Yes.
Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yes.
Brawl in Cell Block 99, Vince Vaughn.
No.
The Report, a political thriller.
Yes.
Raging Bull.
No.
Platoon.
No.
Manchester by the Sea.
No.
Casey Affleck. Mud.
Yes.
A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Logan Lucky, Adam
yes.
Driver.
Absolutely, yes.
The Big Sick.
Yes.
And Fighting With My Family.
Yes.
That's a movie about Paige from WWE, I think.
Yeah, I just want to – I want everybody to rig it so Danny has to watch that now.
All right, good. Tommy, we're up against it. We got about a minute left. Ready?
Yeah.
True Grit.
No.
Mission Impossible.
No.
The Report.
Yes.
Mud.
Yes.
A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Logan Lucky.
No.
The Big Sick.
No.
Fighting With My Family.
Yes.
Danny. The Report, a political thriller.
No.
Mud.
Yes.
A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Fighting With My Family.
No, I don't know what that is.
That's a shame. All right, so then I guess I'm choosing between A Quiet Place and Mud. I'm going to go with A Quiet Place. Never seen it.
Nice.
Probably scary and a little bit weird, but I might as well watch it.
Really good flex. Well done. John Krasinski.
I'm getting a lot of John Krasinski in my life right now.
I was going to say, you're Krasinski'd up, man.
After Jack Ryan. Have you seen A Quiet Place?
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
Okay. So it'll be worthwhile then.
It's tense, scary, and it gets after you a little bit, but it's well done.
The Grant and Danny Movie Club tonight is A Quiet Place. We will talk about it tomorrow at 12:45. Every day, 10 to 2, spread the word. We are going to keep on chugging along on G&D. As soon as the Redskins make all their moves official, by the way, we'll be getting some of the new faces on the Redskins on the show starting later this week, which should be a good time. For Thom and Dar working hard in studio, much appreciated as always. Grant and Dan, Danny saying so long. Chad Dukes is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.